Blog Talk Radio.
You're on.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Carla Campbell. I'm your host for this evening. We had a little bit of technical difficulties here, so it took me a few minutes to get in. But I thank you for being here. So let's move right along. This is my second show. I started this last week, and so it was my first experience being here on Blog Talk, here on Crown Talk and Drums. And so we started out last week talking about sisterhood, and we talked about what the show, the vision for the show, with regards to women being able to share their stories and giving voice to those who have no voice. And so today I was thinking about what would the next phase of this be? What are the topics? There's so many topics, so many things that we could cover with regards to our storytelling, telling of our own truth. And so anyway, so I decided that today I want to talk about self-care and to get into this topic of self-care. And we've been hearing a lot lately, and especially during COVID, take care of yourselves, you know, protect yourself, do that which is right by your own body. Our doctors tell us this all the time, take care, take care, take care. And so tonight I just want to talk about self-care because we don't do enough of it. We who are caretakers, who take care of our families, who take care of loved ones who are sick, maybe we become a caretaker of someone who's chronically ill, and in the process of taking care of others, we forsake ourselves. And so that is a practice that many of us are guilty of, where we do not take the time out to take care of ourselves. So let's, what is self-care? Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, what is self-care? Self-care has been defined as the process of establishing behaviors to ensure holistic well-being of oneself, to promote health, and to actively manage illness when it occurs, when we become ill, when we become sick, and we take the time out to allow our bodies to heal. Individuals engage in some form of self-care daily with food choices, exercise, sleep. I can attest to that because I have been sleep deprived for a while, but I am so thankful that I recently began to gain my sleep back. And so this is something I want us to ponder on and think about for a minute as to what are we doing to help take care of ourselves? What are we doing to maintain our health, or to maintain our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health? And so anyway, I want to share this story about my Christmas. For Christmas, I noticed the gifts that were given to me for Christmas, and it was all things spa related. My daughter blessed me with a foot soaker, and I love it. And it's amazing because someone had told me before Christmas, Carla, you should take the time out and soak your feet in warm water, and that can help you with your sleep. And then I had a nurse who pretty much told me the same thing, soak your feet in warm water. And some people use magnesium, but those were some of the suggestions that were made. And I was noticing, you know, when people are telling you these things, they're telling you these things for a reason. And so, and then I received also another spa type of gift an eye massager by Eyeology. And so I soon realized, okay, this is a message for me to take good care of myself. It's one thing when we're taking care of others, but I needed to really take heed to the message that I needed to take care of myself. And so one day I started the process of going to an acupuncture just to relieve pain from muscle injuries. And so when I left the office, the doctor said to me, "Ms. Campbell, take care of yourself." And he said, "You are pouring into so many others, but you need to pour into yourself." And I asked that question as to how many of us do that. How many of us are actually pouring into ourselves? We're pouring out on a regular basis. We're doing things for others on a regular basis. We're taking care of others on a regular basis, but we're not taking good care of ourselves. How many of us take the time out to pour in? And so I have decided that this is what I'm going to do. So I take the time out during the day to take deep breaths, to have a time of meditation, to have a time of stillness and quietness to myself. And I'm noticing the difference. I'm also noticing I am sleeping better because I'm also walking. I go to the gym now. I've started back my regimen of going to the gym and walking and getting my steps in, as we all say, getting those steps in for the day. But I am noticing that I'm sleeping better. And so that was an aha moment for me that, oh, wow, this is something I was lacking. I wasn't doing this before. And so I now intentionally do it because I know that it benefits my body and it benefits my mind and it also benefits my spirit. And so anyway, I pulled this information from Everyday Health, a website called Everyday Health. And here Everyday Health quotes that self-care is not synonymous with self-indulgence or being selfish. It's not selfishness to take care of yourself. It is not selfishness to put yourself first at times because, you know, as they say, you have to put the mask on yourself first before you can put a mask on the other. And these are the instructions that we receive for those of us who fly, for those of us who travel. They tell us this all the time. Put the mask on yourself first and then put the mask on someone who was maybe incapacitated. And so it's not selfish to take care of yourself. Self-care means taking care of yourself so that you can be healthy and you can be well. You can do your job. You can help and care for others. And you can do all things you need to and want to accomplish in a day. Because our days are stressful. Many of us have stressful jobs, stressful careers, family, life in itself can be stressful. We have situations and circumstances that come our way that causes us to really ponder in on what is it that I'm trying to accomplish. And why is it that I'm having difficulties achieving that? And sometimes we find ourselves burnt out because of the fact that now we have given so much. We've placed so much onto others, spending time taking care of others. Here, Dr. Paula Lopez, she's an associate professor, and I'm quoting from her. She's an associate professor of psychology and educational consultation at Fairfield University. And she says the need for self-care is obvious. We have an epidemic of anxiety and a state of depression. And everybody feels it. And so when we are not taking care of ourselves, when we are not being good to ourselves, it affects our mental health as well. It affects how we navigate throughout the day, lethargic, tired, anxious, weary. And then we have to ask the question, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing? Self-care is a part of the answer as to how we can all better cope with daily stressors. It's the stress of trying to keep up with the pace of daily life. People are feeling lonelier and less able to unwind and slow down, which makes them feel more anxious and overwhelmed by even the simplest task. And I can attest to that. I am very much aware of my energy level. I'm very much aware of how difficult at times it is to even get up and get going for the day. And so that's a sign. It's like, okay, Carla, take the time out. You need to stop. You need to slow down. Slow down. Be quiet. Be still. This is a time to really rejuvenate and take care of you. And it is important that we do so, because if we don't, we crash and burn. And when we crash and burn, what do we do? How sometimes we find ourselves sick. We have ailments. We experience burnout to the point that mentally we can no longer go on. And so I just want to say to you today that how important it is for you to spend that time of nursing and taking care of yourself. Now, I want to go over this. These are 9 points of self-care. And the 9 points of self-care is asking for help. This is number one, asking for help. You know, I had a student say to me one day, he was like, you know, I said to my mom, you got this, you got this, you got this. And so I said, next time, say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? Because we have a tendency to take on the world and we don't ask for help. And we try to be the superwoman, or we try to be, as they say, you know, that strong woman or that strong black woman. We don't ask for help as we should. And so asking for help is really important, really important. We need to put our pride to the side and ask for help. Number two, spending time alone. I know some of us have a difficult time with spending time alone. We have a tendency to need to have something to do. We must have our hands busy. We must find some place to go. We must. But spending time alone is really important. For me, walking, when I go for my walks, that's a truly an autonomous exercise, is when you're walking alone. Unless you're walking with some friends or you're walking with your girlfriend or whoever. But most times we walk, I walk anyway, spend a lot of time walking alone. Putting yourself first, that's a difficult thing for me. I'm still working on it. Because I do have a family and I do, you know, do things for my family, but I'm learning I need to put myself first. And my family lets me know that all the time. You know, my daughter's always telling me, Mom, you need to do this. Stop doing this. Stop, you know. So I am learning to put myself first. Asking for what you need. That is a really tricky one for me. I've had a difficult time with asking for what I needed. But I soon realized that that's really important, to know what it is you need and to ask for it. I think many of us have a difficult time with that one, asking for what we need. Setting boundaries. Here's this one. This, oh my God, this was huge. How do we set boundaries when we say no and mean no? Or when we say yes and mean yes? As they say, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, right? We need to be very direct with people oftentimes by setting our boundaries. I can't do this for you on this day, or I can't be there on that day, or I can't make that meeting because of this, where we are taking the time out to take care of ourselves. Staying at home. Some people have a difficult time with that, you know, but oftentimes staying at home and being quiet, that helps. You know, some people stay at home and take long baths, you know, soaking in the tub, you know, getting your bath bombs. And I was blessed with some bath, beautiful, beautiful bath bombs for Christmas as well. And I'm going to tell you, I am going to go back and purchase another set because they really, really were relaxing and it really helped me. Saying no. How do we say no? Many of us have a difficult time with saying no. I was the queen of not saying no, not knowing how to say no to people. But then, you know, when it starts to injure you by not saying no, you'll find it. You'll soon start to say no when it starts to affect your health, when it starts to affect your mental health. Saying no is really important. And this, you don't have to be mean about it. You know, we can set boundaries and say no in a loving way with all the love. Oh, with all the love, right? And say, okay, and then forgiving yourself. This one here is huge. Many of us are walking with unforgiveness of others, but we're also walking with unforgiveness of ourselves. We have not learned how to move forward from past mistakes, past decisions. We need to give ourselves some grace and forgive ourselves. So forgiving yourself is really important. And then last, taking a step back. How do we take a step back? How do we manage to say, okay, wait a minute, I'm not going to make a decision on this just yet. I really need to take some time out before I make any decisions. I can use myself as an example. I have made decisions under stress. I have made decisions under pressure and making decisions in situations like that without taking care of myself first. Had I taken care of myself first, I would not have made those bad choices. I would not have made those bad decisions, right? So taking a step back is really important with regards to our self-care. Okay. The other thing is, when we were talking about self-care, how many of us are sleeping? This is especially important because sleep is vital to our health and effective human function, and it is just as important as maintaining a healthy diet, regular exercise, or movement. Poor sleep, amongst many other factors, can greatly, greatly harm your health. So if you're not sleeping, you need to take some time out and find out why. What is keeping you from resting? What is keeping you from having a restful night and being able to get a full night's sleep? For some of us, it's hormonal. We're going through hormonal changes. Right. Some of us, you know, who are going through some women are going through menopause, and menopause takes away, you know, your sleep for some people. Some of us are going through other changes like stress because of our jobs or because of our home life, our family. The stresses that we're not even aware of can also rob you of your sleep. And so it is important that we take the time out. If you are having difficulty sleeping, you need to have a conversation with your physician or your doctor, your primary care, and let them know, hey, sleep is becoming an issue, okay? Because of the fact that it's so imperative to our health. And so, you know, self-care, this is all a part of our self-care, all a part of what we do to take care of ourselves. And so unhealthy diets, I know I'm guilty. I probably shouldn't even talk about this. I could be a hypocrite talking about it, but my diet has not been that great. I've been working on it to try to get my diet under control, to get the cravings under control. But healthy diet is very important. I know sometimes we crave the salt and we crave the sweets. And, you know, here in my house, people love the cookies and they love, you know, the sweets. And so we have to learn how to pull back and overly indulge, as they say. Also, lack of focus. When we have lack of focus, and a lot of that is also stress-induced because we're experiencing anxiety from our jobs and from our careers. Some of us have very stressful careers. And then on top of that, some of us have families that we have to go home to. And so it becomes difficult for us to focus. It becomes difficult for us to actually function in the way that we should. When you don't have rest and you don't have sleep and your body is, your hormonally off balance, it will affect your mental capacity as well. So that is really, really important. And then there's this one other thing that came up in this article, and that was, and she was talking about low self-esteem. And I want to kind of talk about that a little bit, because when we have low self-esteem, we're not going to take care of ourselves. We just won't. We need to really build our own self-esteem and build our own confidence, but that's difficult when some people experience that for a long time throughout their life. Maybe their self-esteem is that they were overweight, you know, throughout their childhood, and so that's become a hindrance. Or maybe their self-esteem is eroded because, you know, maybe someone told them throughout their life they will never be anything, that wouldn't amount to anything. And when you hear all these negative words coming at you at in an early, you know, developmental years, some people have difficulties letting that go. And so it is important that we find time to build our confidence. This is the mental health here, to build our self-esteem, to find and to appreciate ourselves in the way that God has created us. Because there's no one else but you. There will never be another you. You are it, you know? And so what gifts and talents you bring to the table, no one else will be able to do it. And so that is really important. Also, I want to talk about here when we're talking about the eight main areas of self-care, and I mentioned those earlier. When we're talking about physical self-care, that you take good care of yourself, you're eating right, you're exercising, and you go to your doctor when you're sick and when you're not feeling well. Psychological, that's our mental health. That is huge in this day and time. We have a number of citizens and young people in particular who are suffering from mental illness. Psychological health is important. Emotional health, emotionally healthy. How do we get there? How do we build our emotions to be strong and to be healthy and to have healthy relationships with people? Social, here we go. Healthy relationships. How do we take care of ourselves and protect ourselves to have healthy relationships? Professional, how do we also set boundaries? And if you notice, all three of all so far, one, two, three, four of everything that I've named also requires for us to set boundaries for ourselves. Environmental, how is that our environment has an impact on our well-being, on our being able to take care of ourselves, our self-care. And then lastly, spiritual and financial. Spiritually, we must take the time out. Your faith, and I believe I mentioned this last week when I was talking about the things that women have in common, women from all over the world on a global scale, is faith, family, and community. And so here, spiritually, where are you? What is your spiritual connection? What is your spirit? What are your spiritual practices? What is your faith? Where is your faith? Do you have faith? Financial. All these things are connected, and the way that we are living and being in life, all these things are connected. We are a spiritual being. We are a physical being. We have a soul. We have a body, right? And we need to take good care of it, because this is what we have, the vessel in which we live in, to be able to carry out whatever God's plan is for your life, right? So here are the eight main areas again: physical, psychological, emotional, social, professional, environmental, spiritual, and financial. And they're all connected. They are all connected. And so I have a statement that, as a matter of fact, I know it was on my Facebook page. It was given to me, sent to me by a good friend of mine who thought about me when she posted it, and I want to bring share this with you. And it's a quote by Zandashi, and the quote is, "I dream of never being called resilient again in my life. I'm exhausted by strength. I want support. I want softness. I want ease. I want to be amongst kin, not patted on the back for how well I take a hit or how many." And this statement is so important to me, because this statement says, hey, I want to be heard. I want to be understood. I need help. I need help. I can't do it alone. I can't do it all. I don't have the capacity to do it all, although I attempt to do it all. Being resilient, yes, it's important, but that is not the staple that I want on my life. I want to be in a place where I can humble myself and say, yes, you know what? I need help. I can't do this by myself. You know what? This is what I need. Can you show me the way? Can you guide me through this? We take hits all of the time through life itself, just by living life itself, when circumstances and situations and trauma and tragedy come our way. And we must be at a place where we say, okay, you know what? I can't do this all by myself. I give this to God, and, you know, I can't. My faith is important, so I'm like, okay, I give this to him because I can't do this by myself. And so that is a form of self-care, acknowledging what I can handle and what I can't, right? And so anyway, so moving right along, I have a poem that I would like to share with you. It's by a young lady named Nikki. And here is the poem. It's called Self-Acceptance. Self-acceptance. Here's the self-esteem, right? So self-acceptance. Stop before the cycle repeats, before the depression creeps, before the pain bleeds onto those who weren't cut. Get out of this rut. No more ifs, ands, or buts. It's time to practice some self-love, to tell yourself that you're enough, to dust off the ashes and rise above what other people want you to be, the false narratives that they've led you to believe. Look into the mirror and have some reprieve as you sprinkle self-love like little seeds. Tell the intrusive thoughts to leave and become the powerful person you know you can be. So that's what we need to do. Self-care. Self-care. And so now I'm going to open up the lines because I would love to hear from you. What do you do for self-care? What are your self-care practices? If you have one, what do you do? For some people, it's taking long baths, right? What is it that you do to take care of yourself, for self-care? You can call me here at 646-668-8217. Would love to hear from you. Self-care. Okay, looks like we do have someone here. Let's hear from this person. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, caller, are you there? What do you do for self-care?
Well, honestly, I think the best thing I do for self-care is to not beat myself up and give myself a break.
There you go.
Because this world is crazy, you know, and there's so many rules and there's so many don't do this and don't do that, you know, that I'm just like, you know, I think I'm doing the best I can. And I think most people do the best they can, you know.
Right.
And just try not beat myself up too much, but also set some goals and try and work towards them a little bit. And just, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I can just take it easy a little bit more. I'm not so stressed and stuff, but.
I take it, are you retired?
Not yet. I still work, but, you know. I'm getting to the point where pretty soon I won't have to work and, you know, five more years, whatever, but it's all good. You know, I think we tend to beat ourselves up more than necessary.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
And everyone's situation is different and you don't know what someone else has been through.
Right.
So you gotta. You got to cut people flack, man.
Yep, that is true. And that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
I think we mostly got to cut yourself some flack because guilt is really toxic, you know.
Yep, that's true.
You get on a huge guilt, you know, I just suck because I'm fat or I'm, you know, not doing this or that. That's poison to somebody.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But you also have to be aware of what that is.
Right.
So that you don't fall for the bait. You have to know what that is.
Like you don't want to I can be a big blob and it's okay. No, we don't want to be a big blob. We want to be our best we can be.
Right. That's absolutely true.
But I wanted to really ask you a question because it's my boss, and she's just in this self-sabotage mode. And I'm really patient with her all the time, and I know everything she's going through, and I understand it, but I'm getting to the point where I just want to tell her off so bad. I just need to tell her she is doing everything wrong, and I don't want to say it like that. And so how can I say it nicely?
You
were talking about that.
You know, in the same way in which we have to give ourselves some grace, and it's difficult as this is, sometimes we have to give other people some grace, and we have to approach them. We have to approach them in the spirit of love, and we have to be before we pretty much have to make sure that we ourselves calm ourselves down, and then think about how am I going to approach this individual in the spirit of love.
Love, yes,
right.
I love that answer.
Yeah, but don't go.
And it's hard because it's emotional. I get all upset.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to balance it.
Yeah. Well, that's
but
what
I do absolutely understand.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to go to the next caller.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, caller. Hello?
You want to talk to Tom?
Hello? Hello? I can hear you. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yes. I enjoyed your subject tonight, but I didn't know you were going to use me as an example. Were you talking directly to me? It felt that way.
It looks like you called in, so just... people have already called in, and I was just, you know, having them to come in. So we were talking about, you know, what do we do for self-care? What do you do for self-preservation?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard it, but I, you know, it's kind of like when you go to church and the minister steps on your toes.
Okay.
But if you're really good at that, how do you get past that? I mean, you know, you can be bleeding and someone calls and I'm fine.
No, can't do that. Can't do that.
How do you unlearn it after so many years?
Yeah, I know it's hard. I'm you know what? I'm guilty myself, but I've throughout the last number of years, I'm going to say in the last 20 years, I've been put in situations where I had no choice but to ask for help. Sometimes life will put you in a situation where it's so critical that it sends you to your knees and ask for help. You know?
And I can go to my knees and ask. Call you and say, I need...
But you can't do that with everybody. You gotta be. You can't just do that with everybody.
So I need to learn to do it with one person. My goal is this: to do that with one person. If they call and they ask me, I honestly say that I can. You know, I won't be like, oh, you're great. Everything is great.
Yeah. Now we you know, it all depends on the setting. It all depends on where we are. right?
Right.
It needs to be a space and a place of safety.
Right.
You can't do that in any space.
Yeah. It's finding a safe spot to be vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
But it was great. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. But what is there any one thing that you do to, you know, for stress?
Let's see. The one thing I do, well, I used to do, recently, I'm not sure why I'm not finding something to do for stress, is I try to get a good book, something that's not a documentary or anything, a fun book, something about a murder mystery or romance or something, so I can read, and that helps me.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, even though I don't know, I can't do murder mysteries, but okay.
Well, that's okay.
That wouldn't be so stress-free for me.
I can do it for both of us.
Okay, then. I'm going to go on to the next question. Thank you.
All right. You take care. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Caller? Are you there? Okay. She's not there. Let's go to the last person. Hello, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Paula, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air. How do you handle self-care? What is your self-care regimen?
For me, I to help myself, I go to the Bible, and one of the scriptures that I stand on is Proverbs 3:5, where it lets me know to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and all these other things, and lean not to my own understanding, and all the things that you covered. For me, if I could just focus on the Word of God, that helps me with self-care.
Faith.
Yes, absolutely.
Our spiritual well-being. Your spiritual well-being will help you line all the other things. Your spiritual well-being, your faith. Because we talked about this last week when I was talking about the things that we as women have in common, and that is faith, family, and then our communities. And so, yes, our faith and our spiritual practice is important. I would say that would be the top, because that helps us make all those other connections.
Right.
Who where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Is this really?
Yes, it is.
How you doing? It's good to hear your voice.
I enjoy the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's good to hear your voice, because I was like, okay, wait a minute, it sounds like her, but I'm not sure. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah, Erlene, because the whole point of the program is the vision that I have for the program is really to just give people a voice and give, you know, people who don't have a voice. And, you know, we're talking about sisterhood, holding on ultimately to truth, which is shout. And so I thought I would, you know, share different stories and maybe at times maybe some literature and literary pieces, because, you know, I am a professor at the college, and so also my own experiences. And so this is why I'm here, and last Saturday was my first time, and I was very nervous, but I got through it, and then here we are today.
Right. Well, I'm very impressed with what you had to share. I usually meet with the ladies at my church, and I plan to use some of the pointers that you've made and brought out. But one thing I was going to ask, would you recommend like a support group for self-help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A support group. There's so much that you can do with a support group for self-care, self-help.
Okay.
Pouring into each other.
Right.
Because you pour out so much as mother, as wife, as maybe in your career, in your profession. You're pouring out constantly. But when you can get to a place where someone else can wash your feet and have someone else pour into you, that's how we strengthen each other. To have someone else wash my feet, to have someone else pour into me, because I'm empty, as my doctor told me. He's like, golly, you're on E. And so I had to learn to do that. Let someone else pour into you. When my kids say to me, you know, mom, you know, I'm bringing you your dinner, you know, they're bringing my dinner to my room. I'm like, no, I'm coming downstairs. But I understand the gesture. The gesture is that my kids are just trying to be loving and trying to ease, as my son would say, mom, stress. And he would bring me my dinner. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that, so blessed. And so we have to do that. And yes, a support group will be great. You guys can go on walks together, you know. Yes, support groups for self-care. I love that. I love it.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'm glad I was able to call in and get through to you. And you take care and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you. And I guess I'll go to the next caller. Okay, I'll have them come in. Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
You too, dear.
And then I'm going to have to shut it down. Hello, caller. Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello? All right.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm not a female, but.
Oh, you don't have to be.
The points, some of the points that you were making, are just as applicable to men as it is to women.
It's for everybody.
Right, and professionals as well. I was in a pastor support group. When I was pastoring, and that really, really, really helped you get through those times where you pastor. We always did it this way. And then the other one, what do you do? My thing is what I used to do, and right now I can't, but I used to go to the mountain. To the mountain.
Yeah.
Literally go to the mountain, get in my little red convertible and go flying up 70 to the western mountains, and I would just have a good time. Just meditating and reflecting the animals and with the trees and all of that.
Yeah.
But then you made another point that really I gravitated to is terms of self. I am a caregiver. And I, for a long time, I wasn't taking care of me.
Right.
And I was allowing stuff to start to go down, and stuff then was getting depressed and all of that. And once I recognized that, then I started back. I started exercising, going for walks and stuff like that. And then it got hot, and I quit doing that because I don't be out there in the heat. But the point that you were making was very, very, very accurate. You must take care of yourself, because if you don't, nobody going to be there to take care of you.
That's absolutely true. Amen. That's absolutely true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I thank you, and I know my time is just about up. And so I'm going to say to everyone that's out there, please take good care of yourself. And please, please, you know, sometimes you have to, you need to put yourself first. Take care of yourself. Put your mask on first, and then you can take care of others successfully.
That's right.
And more effectively. And so with that being said, I'm going to have to wrap it up. And I say to you, peace and blessings, and take care until we meet again, maybe next Saturday. And so anyways, thank you, and you guys have a good night.
The same to you. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.